we're back. This is Left Out on WRCT Pittsburgh. During that break, we heard a piece by David Stock, a Pittsburgh composer, played by Andres Cardenas, who's the principal violinist of the Pittsburgh Symphony. The next topic we wanted to talk about on Bob's list was weapons of mass destruction, or the lack thereof. Let Bob go ahead.
So as you know, it was widely reported that last Thursday David Kaye issued his report as a result of the findings of the Iraq Survey Group that has been active in Iraq since the fall of Baghdad, and he made his report, which was in fact delayed by about 2 or 3 weeks by the Bush administration, in which the outcome of the report was simply that, well, there are no weapons of mass destruction. So there are no chemical weapons of any in evidence at all, nor any materials related to production of chemical weapons. No nuclear weapons whatsoever. No evidence of any tools or machinery or equipment required to develop nuclear weapons. No delivery systems that were outside of the bounds imposed after the 1991 invasion of Kuwait by Iraq, by the UN, and essentially no evidence of any biological weapons, certainly nothing to do with large-scale military weapons or terrorism weapons, although they did recover some one vial containing botulinum virus, I think it is. But that seems a far cry from Colin Powell's testimony in February to the United Nations, in which we were talking of tens of thousands of tons of such things. So many of us on the left at the time were at the all last winter and in the lead up to the war were predicting very forcefully that there really were no such weapons and that this was all completely trumped up. And in fact, the investigations of the administration itself, its own sponsored investigations, have turned up no evidence whatsoever. So the question is, what does this imply about the Bush administration's integrity, and what does it imply about the true motives for going to war in Iraq?
I noticed that in the new budget that the new $87 billion that the administration has asked for, there's $600 million more to continue the search for weapons of mass destruction. Which seems really a kind of an odd thing to be doing at this point, considering that there's absolutely nothing's been found, and nor have any leads been found. No, there's any shred of potential for there to be any such weapons at this point.
And we've already spent $400 million searching for them and found nothing. We'll spend another $600 million and we'll find nothing. So it will be a $1 billion fiasco, not to mention the thousands of lives that were lost in the process of the search. I'm reminded here of O.J. Simpson's continuing investigations to find the true murderer of his wife in Los Angeles. I'm sure he's devoting every waking moment to investigating who really killed his wife, except, of course, from looking in the mirror. So the interesting thing, which is so characteristic of the Bush administration, is a complete denial of the truth. And it's quite remarkable the extent to which the entire administration, from the president on down, is able to simply deny reality. So the Kaye report, of course, is rather a damning document, or rather damning finding for the administration, since so much of the effort to gain worldwide and national and worldwide support for the war was based on the allegations of the existence of these weapons and their imminent that they pose an imminent threat to the United States itself through direct attack and through their dispersal to various terrorist elements that Saddam Hussein was allegedly coddling. Of course, there's no evidence of that whatsoever either. So the Kay report is, I would say, rather embarrassing. But the Bush administration's reaction is, well, in the truest Orwellian fashion, is to simply deny the truth. So President Bush said on Friday that the Kay report, in fact, justified the American-led invasion because it showed just how evil Saddam Hussein is, that he was a danger of the world to the world. Which is, of course, exactly the opposite of what the Kay report shows. And Colin Powell, who is widely regarded prior to this whole fiasco in Iraq as being a man of integrity, is really no different from any of the from President Bush. His comment was that the findings of the Iraq Survey Group led by David Kay left the administration, and I quote, even more convinced with the Kay report that we did the right thing.
Boy, I didn't know that.
If this is not a non sequitur, then I think that there are no non sequiturs.
I mean, he went before the UN and just absolutely went nuts with that, with all the aerial photos, the diagrams showing all kinds of biological labs, trucks moving in and out of buildings. But all that intelligence was completely
shall we say, fabricated?
Well, I don't think it was fabricated. I think it was just taken out of context. I mean, they took a real picture, but they didn't route it through the normal intelligence channels to actually analyze the data. They just made it look like something that didn't actually exist.
Well, you'll recall there were a number of facts came out about Powell's testimony not very long after he gave it. For example, that the Arabic, the transcripts of the communications that were supposedly from Iraqi military commanders in the field were mistranslated. They were not translated correctly at all, and it was designed, I would say, to mislead the public on what was going on.
The aluminum tubes were another thing that he brought up. Talked about in great detail about how these tubes were for building centrifuges, but that was disputed from the very beginning by nuclear experts. And one aspect of that really hasn't been explored very much is that if you've got a high-precision machined thing that's made to great tolerances, and you don't know what it's going to be used for. So what you do is you ask Saddam Hussein, say, what was this? Show me the plans for this. If he shows you a rocket and it makes sense with those tubes, then that's what it is. You can't make up in one day detailed engineering drawings that make sense for a certain thing. So anyway, that was just
another
garbage.
And there, a further thing was a piece of evidence that Powell presented to the UN was a photograph of an Iraqi fighter plane practicing dispersal of chemical weapons. But a moment's thought reveals that that photograph must be old, and in fact it turns out to have been made in the late 80s. Well, why is that? Well, since the time of the first Iraq war and the invasion of Kuwait, there has been essentially, the Hussein's government was absolutely prevented from raising any aircraft whatsoever, let alone a training mission dispersing chemical weapons. There isn't the slightest chance of that having happened in the previous 10 years. And this was self-evident at the time that Powell made his presentation. Moreover, you'll recall that some of his so-called evidence was nothing other than cartoons that were drawn by people in his office. They were drawings made of these supposed mobile chemical weapons labs, none of which have been found and don't exist. And yet that was counted as evidence and presented to the UN to the great embarrassment of the United States. So as this all comes out as being indeed absolutely false, the reaction is to simply say it only shows that it even justifies even more why we should have invaded Iraq. What is going on here?
Bob, we have a phone call. Go ahead, caller.
Hi there. My name is Phil Andrews.
How are you?
I wanted to call in. I'm doing okay. How are you guys doing?
Oh, not bad. Thank you.
We're doing fine. How's our show?
Oh, it sounds pretty good so far. That's why I wanted to give you guys a call and ask your opinion on some stuff. I hate to rehash it, but the California re-election is the topic I was kind of curious about.
Okay.
So I understand there was an attempt to push things back, but it's still going on in the short term. Do you think this is the right decision, or do you think it would have made more sense for it to be pushed back? And who loses, you know, by not pushing it back?
Well, most people thought that Schwarzenegger would have lost by pushing it back because he would have actually had to come up with actual positions on actual issues, who would have had to answer a lot more questions. There would have been a lot more time for more women to come forward who had been molested by him, and all the other things, all the other skeletons that are that clearly are in his closet would have time to get out. So I think he would have been much worse off. I don't know.
I think on the legal argument, whether or not it would have been to Schwarzenegger's advantage, the legal argument I thought was quite clever. The argument that was made to the California Supreme Court was a equal protection under the law argument of equal protection, and the argument was directly based on the justifications, if we wish to call it that, that were given by the Rehnquist Supreme Court in the 2000 election.
Bush.
And the issue, of course, is that the some of the districts in California, namely those that primarily have minority voters in them and lower income voters in them, are still using these punch cards, which now have been amply demonstrated to be a deeply flawed technology for voting. And on those grounds, they argued that, well, these people were going to be disenfranchised because we know that these punch card voting systems don't work very well. And moreover, the Supreme Court itself said that this was justification for, that was a violation of the equal protection. But the full panel, yeah, that's a very good question. I don't know enough about California politics to know the ins and the outs. There was a three-panel judge and then three-panel court hearing, and then the three-judge panel is what I meant to say. And then there was also a 15-judge panel, which eventually overturned it.
Phil, do you have any opinion yourself about the effect of the delay? And also, I was surprised. There was initially Schwarzenegger was running neck and neck with Bustamante.
Yeah.
But that seems to have flipped around as soon as the campaign started.
I really don't know what to think. It just seems like tricky business to me. I don't know if there will be much of any benefit to the re-election process myself. I think more time and more energy has been wasted on frivolous media coverage and just general thrashing. So obviously the fact that the recall is going forward means that there were a lot of people that wanted to see this come to be. But I'm skeptical, at least personally, as to if Schwarzenegger, for example, would be able to do any better than Gray Davis.
Yeah, I find it highly unlikely.
It appears that Schwarzenegger is just, well,
famous.
Well, he's another. The worry is he's another George W. Bush, basically a person who's just a front for ultra-conservative machinery behind him. He himself may not actually be the one doing anything. He'd just be a pawn of these forces that are controlling him.
Right.
So, and the thing about him is that, you know, even Ronald Reagan, prior to being governor, was the head of the Actors Guild. I mean, he was a politician. That was sort of his, he had demonstrated some sort of skill at that and interest in that and management, leadership, so on. There's nothing like that with Schwarzenegger. There's no evidence that he's... he's never run anything, as far as I know.
Right. It's not like there are there's a long resume behind him, other than in being the Terminator.
That's right.
And it recalls some aspects of what was it? Was it Jesse Ventura was the politician?
Yes, in Minnesota.
Was the wrestler? Yes. And I mean, as far as I could tell, now I could be wrong here. It seems that he did a reasonable job, and that he relied heavily on a group of advisors that surrounded him. Now, the question is, can Arnold Schwarzenegger, is all a blur, do the same and rely on a group of people? And I guess it really depends on the group surrounding that person, right? But I do agree with you that not having this long resume of experience behind him is disconcerting.
There's one huge difference compared to Jesse Ventura, which is that Ventura ran and governed as an independent, which left him politically isolated, whereas Schwarzenegger is clearly has the backing of majority interests in the Republican Party.
Right. Well, at least we know from the get-go where he's going. So.
Right.
I want to make one more comment about the Schwarzenegger thing, which is that, about 2 weeks ago, Democracy Now! Had a piece about this, about the women who were coming forward. And at that time, four or five women had come forward to complain about, things he had done to them.
I'm not familiar with the what's this Democracy Now thing you're talking about?
Oh, okay. It's a radio show. It's on
WRCT.
It's on WRCT at 10 o'clock on Monday and Friday mornings. It's soon to be on at 8 o'clock
every
weekday morning, assuming we can get certain things done on campus and certain equipment installed. It's a show that comes from Pacifica Network. It's produced in New York and hosted by Amy Goodman.
Oh, okay.
If you are able,
you can go to www.pcdn.org, which is the Pittsburgh Campaign for Democracy Now. And if you're able, it would be appreciated to make a donation to help WRCT put Democracy Now on the air.
All right. Thanks for the contact.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. But I just did want to make one more little comment about that, which is when this first came up on Democracy Now, I thought Arnold was done. I thought this story would just explode in his face, but it didn't. And the mainstream media didn't pick it up for like 2 weeks. So finally, the LA Times wrote that big article. They had six women, most of them on the record, non-anonymous, coming forward to telling their stories about what he did to them. And this is not old stuff from 1977. This is stuff that's happened up until very recently. But still, he's just roaring forward, apparently. And even today, the story that four more women have come forward with complaints about things he did to them. But it doesn't seem that people care. It's just such an odd thing to me.
It is rather surprising, and I think part of it is simply the press coverage. Most of the mainstream media covers him because, well, he's very famous. He's one of the most famous actors in the world, and they're covering him as a celebrity. They're not covering him as someone who will be the governor of California after next Tuesday, in all likelihood, judging from what we find right now. It's a really sad commentary on the electorate and what people will do, what grounds people will consider sufficient for voting for a politician. I think they're going to find out that many of the problems of California are problems of states throughout the country, and they really have nothing to do with Gray Davis and everything to do with the policies that are being forced on the states by the Bush administration. On the other hand, although that is a rather depressing thought that Schwarzenegger may be elected on the basis of being handsome, at least there seems to be some movement throughout the country, and finally realizing that George Bush may not really be such a great president. In fact, the latest polls that came out on Friday gave him just a 44% approval rating, which is rather far from where he was immediately after the 9/11 attacks. And I think this is a good sign. I think what we're seeing is that people realize that the war in Iraq is a complete fraud, a farce, and a fiasco. It's perfectly evident that the state of the economy is terrible, and that Bush's economic policies consist merely of giving tax breaks to the very, very, very wealthy. And this will catch up to him. I hope so. Well, maybe we'll take another break and then come back and discuss a few more news
items. Oh, let's get the phone number again in case anybody wants to call in.
If you wish to call, it's 268-WRCT on campus, 621-WRCT off campus.